excludes other people.
But you actually heard want to go on Shlichus also.
There is no Yetzer Hara to sacrifice for others and do for others. If the Yetzer Hara tells you that because you're on Shlichus, therefore you don't have to learn anymore, or therefore you don't have to work on yourself anymore, that's a Yetzer Hara. That's what the Yetzer Hara tries. The Yetzer Hara tries to get involved even when you're doing good things. But by definition, putting yourself out for someone else is a good thing. And in fact, even the it's brought in Svarim that every mitzvah, when a person comes up, they don't just judge a person by his actions. They scrutinize the mitzvah to see why he did it, his intentions and his motivations and the circumstances. It's brought in Svarim, but when it comes to chesed, when it comes to doing it for someone else, they don't scrutinize. It goes through. And like the Alter Rebbe said to the person who came crying to the Alter Rebbe, he was a wealthy man, he had an open home, and he fed everyone, gave people a place to sleep, he gave everyone food for free, and he sent everyone away with a big monetary gift. And one time the Alter Rebbe came and stayed in his place, and he came crying to the Alter Rebbe. He said, "The Rebbe, I don't know if I'm really being selfless. I think I'm just doing it all because I enjoy being this, you know, this big shot, this giver." So the Alter Rebbe put his hand on his head and he sang his niggun and he went into Dveikus, and after a while he said, "But the Araman is satisfied. The poor person is hunger is satiated. He has a few dollars in his pocket. Who cares about you?" That's what giving is about. But it's an unbelievable thing that this new Yetzer Hara, which says that I'm not good enough to help someone else.
Does that mean I'm not good enough? It's not I'm not qualified to be a shliach, or what do you mean I'm not?
Well, each person expresses itself in different ways. Sometimes people will say, "Who am I? I'm nothing. I'm a nobody."
A person can think, "I don't have the ability to do it."
I'm not talking about the person who says, "I don't have the technical ability to stop a person and say, 'Are you Jewish?'" And and if he says yes, to ask, "Would you like to put on film?" If there is somebody, either he has a very serious speech impediment, and he can't say those three sentences. Again, but that's only their imagination. It's only their personal inhibition and their personal fear and inhibition. That's a different issue. I mean, but I'm just saying, there's certain things that you can do for other people. I'm just saying that you see in relationships and in these kind of things, you see this backwards way of thinking, which says, "Who am I? Who am I to?" I talk to parents and I say, "Listen, you have to get involved in your children's chinuch. You have to learn with your kids. You have to spend time. Who am I? What do I know? I send them to yeshiva. There's a rabbi. There's this. He's supposed to know how to deal with it. I don't know anything. I'm nothing. I'm nobody. But I'm gonna." This is who cares. This is what the kid needs. This is what you have to forget about you. Who's interested in you? We're interested in the kid. And what the kid needs is a father who puts his arm around him and says, "Yeah, let's sit down and learn, let's sit down and go over what you learned today in school." And if the father doesn't know, so he says to the kid, "Teach me what you learned today in school." And that itself gives the kid a tremendous boost and a tremendous feeling of accomplishment. So the answer is everyone could help everyone else. But a new thing, this thing is, there's something wrong with me, and because there's something wrong with me, I can't love someone else, I can't care about someone else, I can't be really kind and giving to somebody else. But again, why? Because forget, now we have the opposite problem. It used to be the problem was people had yeshes, and you couldn't overcome it. The best you could hope for was to suppress it. Now we have the opposite problem. We all have the capacity to overcome our yeshes, right? So the only thing the Yetzer Hara can do is try to convince us that somehow our yeshes is insurmountable. He has to convince us that we can, and that somehow somehow there's something wrong with us, and therefore we can't, because he knows that once we enter into the process of going out of ourselves and going beyond ourselves, we truly have the capacity to go completely beyond us. So he has to find any means to see to it that we don't make that first step. Because today, Avos Yisrael is a foretaste of Geula. Avos Yisrael today is the key to taste and experience the reality of Geula, the reality of Einayim Mubadim. Once you take the first step beyond yourself, and that's also even people who do and do care about others, the Yitzhar comes right away and says, oh, you're a great guy. You do for others. You're a big shot. You're great. You're wonderful. People should want to show you respect because you do so much for others. The Yetzirah comes around because he knows that this is the area in which the Yetzirah is, like, he knows this is his end. Because we're living with a whole different kind of Avos Yisrael. We're not living with Avos Yisrael to fight self. We have now the key in our hands of Avos Yisrael to transcend self, to experience Geula. And that is the, when we do that, that's the end of the Yetzirah. He's out of business. So here's where he fights for his life. So because we're living in the new reality, you see more expressions of Sinas Chinuch, not less, because the Yetzirah is really going all out to make sure. And yet, at the same time, that you see in certain ways greater deterioration, more Sinas Chinuch. At the same time, you see acts of selflessness that were unimagined in previous generation. Levels of Chesed, levels of giving, levels of doing for others that are completely unprecedented in the history of the Jewish people. The sheer number of people and organizations and monies and that are involved in going out and reaching out to others and helping others and caring for others, the sheer volume of chesed being done is totally out of proportion to anything that ever existed previously. And these two things are living together at the same time. On the one hand, an explosion in chesed and selflessness and sacrificing for others in a way unheard of previously, and at the same time, the squabbling and then the fighting because the Yetzer knows that today doing a chesed is far more dangerous to his existence than it ever was. Today, caring about someone else is far more dangerous to his existence than it ever was. His existence is on the line. So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is the one that he started off the process of being able to actually to be megala the panemius of the Torah, to be megala the panemius of the person, and at the same time to be able to refine, to sift out the negative that was also inside, just like there were hidden qualities inside a Jew that were not exposed until Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, through the teachings of panemius of the Torah, revealed those hidden qualities. There were also hidden flaws inside the Jew because the panemius was concealed. There were also hidden flaws inside the world and inside the Jew which were not exposed. And people did not realize that Bittul and Yashus was the key issue on which all of Yiddishkeit is dealing with. People didn't realize that Ein Eid Muvadi is the key issue, is the pivotal issue on which everything revolves around. So therefore people learned Torah, and people did mitzvahs, and people served Hashem, and people even struggled with their egos on one level or another, but not in the context of trying to limit, to humble themselves, but not in the context of trying to actually achieve a state of selflessness. That was something which was by definition considered impossible. In fact, it's fascinating to note that even the Ramban, whose commentary is based tremendously on the teachings of Kabbalah and Panemius HaTorah, that even the Ramban writes that v'ahavta l'reacha kamecha, to literally love your fellow Jew as yourself, he says it's impossible. The Ramban writes that it is impossible to love someone as much as you love yourself. He says that the Torah was written al derech ha'afloga. It wrote it in an exaggerated way to show a person that he should be ever striving and never stop. That it's not, that to show that it's not just once you have a feeling of love for your fellow Jew, that's enough. that you have to constantly, it's a process. You have to constantly be striving to grow more and more in your love for your fellow Jew. But not that kamecha means you could actually love someone as much as yourself. Dafka chassidus, which came along afterwards, and was megala even more, the panemius of panemius atayra. Dafka chassidus said not only could you love your fellow as yourself, but you can love him more than yourself. And that the chassidim used to say, v'haftal reyacha, that you should love your fellow Jew, that's for sure. It comes along the Torah, but you know how worthless you yourself are. The Torah comes along and tells you, kamecha, that you're supposed to love yourself, because you also have an neshama. So chassidim used to say the opposite. V'haftal reyacha, that's undisputed. He's a yid, he has a neshama, of course you have to love him. Kamecha, okay, you also have an neshama. So Hasidus came along and said that it's not an arirat. And the Hasidim themselves proved it. They went out, people went, and in order that another to be mezaka, another yid in the mitzvah to be mezaka, another yid, they went and they put their lives on the line. And unfortunately, in the previous generation, many of those people put their lives on the line. Their lives were actually taken. They lost their lives. Baruch Hashem, we say that in our generation, you can make that kind of sacrifice. And Baruch Hashem, you don't have to lose your life. You know, but you see, the whole idea of shlichus, the whole idea of going out and putting other people's lives before your own. And really, really, literally putting your own life on the line, loving someone more than you love yourself, to be totally focused on their welfare and their well-being at the expense of your own. So Rashbi, who in Panimius Atera, he is the one that begins to reveal, to start off the process of refining out yeshus, to the process of revealing that the only true existence, that you can learn nigla, and nigla, the whole premise of nigla is that the person and God are two separate beings, are two separate existences, and God, there's a commander, and there's a commandee. And there's a commandment. That's it. The basic premise of Nigla is that you're a separate entity unto yourself. It's Davka the Panemius that's Megala that forget that our main avodah in this world is to be Megala the truth that ain't Eid Movad. To be Megala and through that process of being Megala the truth to refine out, to remove out our own yeshus, our own ego, our own self-awareness, our own self-centeredness. That is Dafka, that process is begun by Rav Shimon bar Yochai. So the other Talmidim of Rav Akiva, they understood, in the most literal sense of after the Achak HaMecha, which means that you have to worry about another person's welfare and well-being. You're obligated, even though, but that doesn't negate your existence. That doesn't come from a place of being nothing. In fact, you're a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and you have a very distinct opinion of what Rabbi Akiva means. You're not supposed to. You don't. It doesn't mean that from the nigla point of view, after the Achak HaMecha says the literal meaning of after the Achak HaMecha is the fact that you love yourself. That's a given. And the fact that you're never going to love anyone else like yourself. That's also a given. But at least work towards that. Work on caring about somebody else. So if the given is that if my existence is a given, and that my existence is the focus or the focus of most of my love, that's a given. Now I'm also supposed to share some of that with another Jew. So when you're looking at after the Achak HaMecha from the nigla point of view, right? So since my existence is a given, and therefore my understanding of Rabbi Akiva's teachings, that's where it's at. My understanding of what Rabbi Akiva teaches, that's where it's at. Therefore, if I'm going to share some of my, if I'm going to love you, means I'm going to share some of myself with you. What I'm going to try to do is, I'm trying to try to get you to see things my way. That is the normal understanding of after the Achak HaMecha. It's Davka Rashbi, it's Davka Panemius Atera that goes about it the other way. That says, I love you because I'm aware of my own nothingness. It is Dafka when I'm coming from a place of God-centeredness. But I'm coming from a place where I lose myself. My love for you comes from the fact that I see you as a part of God. Because I'm looking beyond myself. I'm going out of myself. And I recognize that self, I recognize self-awareness as the ultimate antithesis to godliness. So when I'm and vahavta l'rayacha, that's reality. Kamech is the chiddush. So then I love you as you are. I'm not imposing myself on you. My love for you comes from the fact that I'm going out of myself. So it's Davka Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. From all the Talmidim of Rav Akiva, it's Davka Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that who was Megala the Pnimius of the Nesham, was Megala the Pnimius of Avodas Hashem. Then he was Megala the Pnimistic approach to after the Achikam Eichem. Davka Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was the one that did not fall into that way of understanding Avos Yisrael, and therefore, which led the other Talmid of Rabbi Akiva to be Leinagu Kavod Zos.
I just wanted to say that I'm not going to dispute your central point, but when you said about Shlichus, I don't see that as being serious Nefesh Shlichus. I mean, you're bringing God into a place, you're giving people the opportunity to help themselves. You're not doing anything, you're not Meister Nefesh, you're simply bringing God into a place.
Al-Dereva defines Mesiris Nefesh as that when I could be doing activities which would be providing for my own needs. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
The serious nefesh is when I put aside, and instead of taking that time and energy and utilizing it towards fulfilling my desires and my needs, I put that aside and I use that time and energy to fulfill God's desires and God's needs, or by proxy, another Jew's desires and another Jew's needs. That is Mesiris Nefesh.
But you are
giving away my life for your life.
You're obligated to fulfill God's needs. What do you mean? All of a sudden, I mean, if we decide to be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, that's Mesiris Nefesh. That's fulfilling God's needs.
Again, it depends where you're coming from.
God doesn't have needs anyway.
One second. That's another issue. But he says, God says, I want you to do it. I want you to do it, and I need you to do it.
So we're obligated to
do it. Okay. The fact is, but again, does that... Al-Dereva says that when a person does, when I do what someone else wants, rather than what I want, I'm sacrificing my life for them. I may be sacrificing a minute of my life, a second of my life.
What are we doing it for? Who are we doing? God's? Who's the other person that we're doing what they want?
Whether it's God or whether it's another person. That is an act of sacrifice. I'm doing it for someone else. Now, sometimes a person does things for ulterior motives.
Yeah.
And they're really doing it for themselves. That's not what we're talking about. When a person's doing it for ulterior motives, he's doing it because he wants to do it for himself, because it makes him feel good, that's not sacrifice. Sacrifice is when I would rather be doing something else for myself, and what's driving me to do it for you is because you need it and you want it.
But if somebody, let's say, is on a higher plane, and he's such a godly person, he wants to go into a place where there's no godliness and bring godliness into that place, and another person would rather be home making money, so you're saying the person who'd rather be home making money is going on the serious nefesh, but the other person who's a godly person and would rather be going on shlichus,
right,
is not the
right,
serious
exactly
nefesh.
What Chassidus says.
It's not
that the simple people, who do it, that the simple people, when they serve God, the mila of the reason why God wants, he made only very few tzaddikim, and he made most people are people who are self-centered and selfish, and is because God prefers people, yakar be'enei Hashem ha-mavsel ha-chassidim, and it's precious in the eyes of God that his chassidim kill themselves. In other words, that a person has to break himself to serve God, that is more precious to God than the tzaddikim will do it, because that's their ultimate, that is their ultimate enjoyment, their ultimate pleasure. It's God prefers much more the avodah of those ordinary people who have to break themselves in order. The chiddush of the times that we're living in today is that traditionally you could spend your whole life breaking yourself and that's it. Until the day you died, you were busy breaking yourself. The Nevin is saying today we can go past that. We could reach a point where we're no longer breaking ourselves, but godliness becomes our very being. That we could experience Geula already now. So Davka Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So we celebrate two seemingly contradictory things. We celebrate the fact that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was spared. That the Talmidim stopped dying, and the few Talmidim that were left were spared, including Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Because it's Davka Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who's Megala the Pneumius HaTera, and therefore Megala the Pneumius of Anashama, and the Pneumius of Avos Yisrael. It is Davka Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that is able to transcend the issue of Misa. Where does Misa come from? Where does death come from? Death comes from the fact that at the time of the Chet Eitz Hadas, and then again at the time of the Chet Ha'ego, there was introduced into the person self-centeredness. If a person would be completely God-centered, then his whole existence would be nothing more than an extension of God. And just as God is infinite, so too would his life be infinite. It is only when Yeshus became introduced, and the person became an entity which is separate from God, an entity unto himself which perceives itself as separate from God, then he became finite and limited, which including the issue of death. So the Rebbe explains that the Rebbe Kiva, the Leinagel Kovet Zebazel also came from Avos Yisrael. But an Avos Yisrael which is predicated on Yeshus still leaves room for the Indian of Misa. It still leaves room. That's not the kind of Avos Yisrael which is able to transcend the issue of Misa. It's Davkar Avos Yisrael that comes through the Aved of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. It's Davkar Avos Yisrael that comes through the Gili of Pneumius HaTeira, Pneumius HaNasham. And the capacity that a Jew has of going beyond self, it is Davkar that Avos Yisrael which enables the individual to transcend the limitations of finitude and the limitations of Misa, the limitations of death. So that same Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, his Histalkus is not a tragedy. His Histalkus is not a tragedy. It's a celebration. Because his Histalkus is a step in the process of revealing, of transcending death. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, his death his Histalkus is not a symptom of the limitations of a Yid and Neshama Beguf. But rather it's part of the process of transcending Misa. Of being megalot apnimius, of transcending Misa. So it's Dafka by Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that his Histalkus is not celebrated is celebrated as opposed to commemorated as something, as a fast day.
Which is not the case with the
right. So Moshe Rabbeinu, who through him was the Kabbalah Satera of Nigla the Tera, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's brought in Halacha. The opinion is that even in the month of Adar, which is a month of Simcha, on his yahrzeit you should fast. Masha'en kein Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who his yahrzeit comes out in the month of mourning. His yahrzeit comes out in the month of mourning, and we say that his yahrzeit in the month of mourning we should celebrate. In the midst of the mourning, we should celebrate. Because Davka Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is Megalot of Pneumius. And Rav Shimon Bar Yochai starts off the process in which of refining out that yeshus, starts of the process in which man has the capacity to transcend death.
Rabbi Akiva didn't do that.
Rabbi Akiva was through Rabbi Akiva continuing the transmission of Tanya Shabbal Peh. But the revelation of Pneumius HaTeira, that's Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, through Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, is giving a Pneumius HaTeira. So it's Davka Rav Shimon Bar Yochai that's initiated that process. It's Davka Rav Shimon Bar Yochai who initiated that process. That in the middle of a month of mourning, we celebrate his yahrzeit as the hilu, as a celebration. But the Rebbe is telling us that now, the Rebbe is telling us that in our generation now we've reached the end of the process. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is talking the beginning of the process. The Rebbe is telling us that now in our generation we've reached the end of the process. And we have to actualize everything that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai began and everything that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai opened up the doors for us. Now we have reached a point where each and every one of us can actualize that in our lives and completely transcend self. And the Rebbe took it a step further. The Rebbe said that each and every person could reach Chaim Netzchim without dying and being resurrected. The Rebbe says each and every person could transcend self to the point that they would go straight to eternal life. The Rebbe said some number of occasions. That today each and every person has the capacity to transcend self to the point of eternal life. To actually experience eternal life. So Dafka, our generation, that is the end of the process.
What do you mean experience eternal life? I'm into that. I want to know what that means. What does that mean? What do you mean we can transcend self?
That's what the Rebbe says, that if a person has the capacity to transcend self to the point of a nafshi ka'afel akel tia, that my soul is like dust to all.
Yeah.
And therefore, the Rebbe says, when a person does that, then he goes straight to eternal life without having to experience death and resurrection.
You mean, what if we don't get the Geula before he dies? You mean he's not going to die?
No, yeah, this person is already going to be living in the Geula reality. And not just in a spiritual sense, but in a physical sense. He will be physically experiencing that Geula and will have transcended all the natural limitations
because we're
of self.
So close?
Physically.
Because we're so, is it because of the times that we're
so
close?
Because we've already done the process of refining out the innate limitations of self. I've already been refined out. We have the capacity to transcend that.
That was started by the Rashbi. That refining out was started by the Rashbi.
Mm-hmm.
That's started. Refining out was
started. That was started by the Rashbi.
And
It's finished by the Rashbi. And that's a Dafka. And it's very interesting. This is, I'm saying it on my own. You know what I mean? If you don't like it, everyone, Yehi Lei Asher Lei. It's Dafka, that's what Dafka you see by the Rebbe, that many of those who are so completely involved with the Inyan of Mashiach don't even celebrate it as a Hilul. That not only don't they recognize the time of Gimel Tammuz as a day of mourning, they don't even recognize it as a day of to celebrate. And by the other Rebbeim, the day of their stock is a day of celebration. We don't, it's not a day of mourning, it's a day of celebration. But today, you see today that by those who are trying to, by many of those who are trying to live with the reality of Mashiach and with the teachings of the Rebbe in a complete and total way, that not only don't they commemorate Gimel Tammuz as a time of mourning, but that they don't even commemorate it as a time of celebration either.
Why?
That as a celebration of a yahrzeit celebration.
Uh-huh.
If anything, commemorate as a chain, a step in the process of Geula, because the Rebbe was telling us that now this is it, this is the end, we finished the process. The Rebbe told us that I and us, we have what the Shbi started. The Rebbe finished. We finished the process. It's over. Sinaschinim as yeshus and sinaschinim as a reason for galus or a reason for death, they no longer exist in the world. That's over.
So if they no longer exist in the world, and remember that now it's been actualized, then and now we totally transcend like all yeshness whatsoever, and that now every single person is holding by this level of inner mobility. How is it possible there could even be any sort of machlokes in the Lubavitch, which seemingly is the exact antithesis of that whole reality?
Because that's what, because they're never saying we're living in a unique time, that it's before the Geula, but you have an opportunity to taste it.
Right.
You can choose which reality you live in. And that was the sikh we just did of Vayigash.
Exactly.
The Rebbe says an amazing thing. In the time of Golos, a Jew didn't have the freedom to do whatever he wanted. He had limitations imposed on him by the nations of the world. In the time of Geula, a Jew is not going to have the freedom of, is going to have certain limitations imposed on him by Geula, that he's going to have to behave the right way. He won't be able to misbehave. Okay? In the times of Golos, he had certain limitations. He couldn't do everything the way he wanted to because the Goyim didn't want. In the time of Geula, he's going to have to do everything right because it's Geula. You can't do it the wrong way. Right? There was this, right now we're living in an in-between unique time. You could choose the reality you live in. Do you live in Golos or do you live in Geula?
So
the Rebbe says like this, you could choose death or eternal life.
Right.
You could choose your reality. You could choose death and you could choose eternal life. You could choose Sinas Chinah. Or you could choose Avos Yisrael, Avein Oid Mavadei.
So the people who went and so the people who see me now, it's living
so
in the
everyone time. Is making like, that choice. Now like, we're living in the so time, and you see how the cards are falling. Each one is making his choice.
Even though it might be like pushing, seemingly like on the aspects of itself, they're like pushing for like 100%, like seeming like themselves are not even living with the reality that's now accessible.
Again, because you have to first accept that it's accessible. If you dispute the whole, accessibility of that reality, you're certainly not in touch with that reality. That's right. Choosing goals. Okay, at least you know if you accept that such a reality is accessible, it's attainable, it's achievable, and you want that, or you're working towards that, or you're or that's what drives you. So then, in a sense, you're choosing to whatever degree you are. To whatever degree you're living your life that way, you're choosing Geula.
But a real
do you or I know anybody who has already completely chosen Geula to the point that he to that point that he has completely transcended self and death and anything else? I'm assuming that that's the case with the Rebbe, but outside of that, no, not yet. But the Rebbe said we can do it, so that's the job we have to do it. The fact that it hasn't been done yet doesn't mean it's not doable. It's doable, and we have to do it. Right. You, me, us. That's what we have to do. We have to know where we are, where we're holding, what we could accomplish, what's available.
But you're saying a real Mashiach, so to say, is not a holding by Mashiach, it's anti-Mashiach. It's holding by Av Yisrael Mamash.
That's it. The Rebbe says clearly. The Rebbe says... In the Maim of Atat Tetzav, in that Maim that the Rebbe gives out, the Rebbe describes that a person could reach a point where his desire for Geula is so intense that the very thought of the fact that there's one Jew who's not experiencing God's infinite light crushes him and breaks him. And in there, the Rebbe throws in, and the Rebbe says, and this is itself brings out the revelation of the essence of the Neshama. And right in there, the Rebbe sticks in, it doesn't look like the way it's stuck in, it doesn't even look like it was part of the original Maim. It looks like the Rebbe stuck it in. When it was edited, it was just through revealing the essence of the neshama, he achieves a level of Avos Yisrael which is even higher than that which is described in Tanya. Because the Avos Yisrael which is described in Tanya presupposes a suppression of self. But when a person reaches that level of transcendence of self, it's a whole different Avos Yisrael. It's not the Avos Yisrael that comes from suppressing self, but it's the Avos Yisrael that comes from transcending self. So that's the Rebbe right away, he sticks that in, right? If you're living in that Geula reality, then you're living with a whole different kind of Avos Yisrael. Unfortunately, sometimes, even when you're living in the reality of Avos Yisrael and you're able to accept people totally for what they are, sometimes, unfortunately, as we explained earlier, sometimes there are situations where people misrepresent certain truths, where people behave in one way, okay, externally, but they represent an approach, a way of Yiddishkeit which is against that which is the Rebbe's teaching. It's not, you know, it's when somebody has an alternate approach, an alternate understanding, then that's not a problem. You totally respect that because the Rebbe's teachings are great enough. That there's room for everybody and their understanding. But when a person comes on the and looks on the outside he appears to be an everything a learned person, a chassid, and the Rebbe in that letter where the Rebbe explains why, even though generally we oppose the sins and not the sinners, the Rebbe says that sometimes that you have to expose the phonies, you have to attack the sinner. The Rebbe says that like that the Alter Rebbe said that Esav Arasha wore a Zaydna Sittuk. The Reis of Rasha didn't look like a mugger. The Reis of Rasha looked like a Rebbe. He wore a silk kapata and a gartel and a streimel. He didn't look like he didn't dress like a hoodlum. So that's it. So sometimes you have to, when there are direct, actual misrepresentations of statements that the Rebbe said, or facts are
on either side.
Very any side. Where facts, where things are being misrepresented, then if you say this is what the Rebbe said, this is how I understand, this is how you understand, okay, let's talk. No problem. If I say this thing that the Rebbe said should never have been published, Or this thing that the Rebbe said, you should ignore because the Rebbe said so many other things, and therefore, or this thing that the Rebbe said by definition is can't be understood. And I understand it different than you. I say, I can't understand it, and you can't understand it either. That's misrepresenting Torah. Misrepresenting the Torah of Rabbi Akiva, that is something that, unfortunately, situations call for, that you have to expose that. But you have to be driven by an Avos Yisrael, not an Avos Yisrael of imposing my view on someone else, but the Avos Yisrael of seeing everyone as an extension of God's ultimate perfection. And even when on the outside they appear to be not that way. And it's dafka through living with that kind of Avos Yisrael, like everything else. That is the key to all other aspects of Geula. The key to all other aspects of godly awareness is always Avos Yisrael. That's what the Alter Rebbe said, that Avos Yisrael is the keli to Avos Hashem. All paths to godly awareness have to go through Avos Yisrael first. There's no way that you can go to godly awareness. You can lock yourself in a room and laugh at this all day and daven all day. But if you can't, like the story of the Tzemach Tzedek, that Alter Rebbe hadn't appeared to him. The Alter Rebbe used to appear to him and answer him all his questions. And the Alter Rebbe hadn't appeared to him for a while. And one day he was very brokenhearted about it. And one day he was walking to shul, and a man approached him, and a simple peasant approached him for a small loan so he could, it was market day, so he could do some handling. And the Tzemach Tzedek said, fine, as soon as I finish davening, and he continued on to shul. And when he got to shul, he realized, till I finish davening. Meanwhile, the market is going on, and the Jew wants a few dollars, a few rubles to have an opportunity to make a deal. Why should my davening come before his livelihood? And he had already taken out the talus on his shoulder, put the talus down, and he went back home, and he got a few rubles, and then he went searching all over the busy marketplace to find the person so he can give him the loan. And when he came to shul, the Alter Rebbe appeared to him. The Alter Rebbe said to him that the power of helping another Jew is far greater than anything you can accomplish with your davening and with your learning, and so on. So that's the key. The key to say when people come and say that that the issue is which is more important, Mashiach or Avos Yisrael, that's a farce. Those are not the choices. Because Mashiach by definition means has to grow out of true Avos Yisrael. You can't experience Mashiach. You can't experience Geula. You can't make the step. And as we saw in the Sichur Parshas Vayigash, that the Rebbe said that by choosing to live that reality, you actually make that reality is actualized in the entire world. So if Avos Yisrael is the prerequisite to living that reality, and living that reality is the prerequisite to actualizing that reality in the physical world, then to separate the two, to say that you have to choose between one or the other, is certainly not even ridiculous.
Who would even put that question?
It's so out of the question.
Who would put that question?
The emphasis has to be on Avos Yisrael, but on the Geula de Avos Yisrael. And the Geula de Avos Yisrael is an Avos Yisrael which proclaims that Ein Ed Mavadeh, that nothing else exists outside of God, and the only thing which we might have to sometimes take a posture of opposition to is behaviors which seem to proclaim, which oppose godliness. We sometimes have to oppose behaviors, and sometimes we might have to oppose people who pretend to offer an alternative way of serving God, selfishly, of serving God without Geula, of people who on the outside seem to be offering an alternative, working against the revelation of Geula, while at the same time, to all external appearances, appearing to be righteous and God-fearing people. Sometimes we have to expose that by, unfortunately, even in certain situations, attacking the people. But even then, when we're attacking the people, we're not attacking the person as a person. We're attacking the person as representing a certain type of out there. But the person as a person, you have to continue to love with the same love as you would the person who you just have to negate his behaviors and not the person. And we should be zeichet takedah that each and every one of us should, on the will of the Rashbi, we should undertake achlotus tevis, especially in the area of Avos Yisrael and the area of living with the full of reality through the means of Avos Yisrael. We should take a bizecha that we should go straight from the foretaste to the actual, to the real thing, and we should have the gula amitis vashleim and this galus of the Rebbe Melech HaMashiach take it from Yad Mamash.